I'm Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, just had to do the intro three times because I don't know my name.
Well, if it helps, I don't know words or how to set up our podcast that we've been doing for well over a year. So
that's showbiz, ladies.
Hey.
Hey.
As you can tell, we're super professional, definitely in a studio and not at all on Allie's living room
with correct
cats and candles full after ravioli.
Exactly. Not right at all like that.
Not at all that. This very much comes naturally and easily and is something that we were pretty much just like born recording.
It's true. I was born with a microphone next to my face.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sorry, you guys. We're in a punchy mood. It is a Tuesday. It's late enough on a Tuesday that I'm starting to resent the fact that it's not a Wednesday, but it's early enough on a Tuesday that I'm pretty damn excited that it's recording night.
I'm so excited. I'm in a true crime mood. I've been looking forward to this. I haven't seen Abby in like 3 days.
I know. And it's been really hard.
Having a tough time. We did have a really fun weekend, though.
We did.
We celebrated Abby's birthday because she's old as shit now.
Yeah. Woo.
Woo. I got like 6 months until I joined the party, so we're just riding this on out.
Yep. And I'll be your elderly friend. 6 months older than you.
Yeah.
No, it was really fun. We went to like a little cidery and there was crafts and just low key. It was good vibes. I hate birthdays. Well, I hate my birthday. I love everyone else's. I just never know what to do for mine. So I'm like,
You're like, do whatever you want to do. If you want to run me over with your car, totally fine. Throw it in park, whatever.
You want to put that thing down, flip it and reverse it. I'll stay there. Like,
no rush. I don't want to inconvenience anybody at all. I'd never dream of it.
Never. It is my birthday party, but if you would just pick out the entire itinerary and what you want to do,
I'll do that.
Would love that.
Yes, I'll pay for everything. I don't want this to be an inconvenience or a hardship on anybody. I would just enjoy your company. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
You need a getaway car? I can try, but I might hit a few curbs, you know?
So we had a good weekend hanging out with Apple Dabbleson and friends and good time. And then had to go back to real life momentarily, but now we're here.
Love.
And we're doing our favorite thing, which also is hanging out with you guys.
Can I give you guys a quick update?
No.
Because Allie and I talked at the beginning of the year that we both had a resolution to read 10 books.
Yes.
Yes. And I said I would do this with Allie, which is important because I am very bad at reading for fun, even though I really like reading for fun. Well, I am done with my third book.
She's beat me, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm on to my fourth.
Hells yeah.
Right?
You could up your goal to like 12.
I could. I'm going to try to hit 10 first because I don't trust myself and summer is not as relaxed as winter. But
that's true.
If I do hit it, I will give myself extra credit.
That's true. And we have a busy year coming up.
That we do.
Year as if it's not, you know, oh my God, we're like a quarter of the way. Anyway.
I don't know why you'd say that to me.
This year's going to be very busy.
Yes.
It already has been. It will continue to be. So yes.
You're going to have to deal with Allie and I talking about like trips and exciting little goodies happening in the background. I'm just so excited.
And super fun podcast things with, we're getting so many emails and so many messages from you guys. And I just wanted to say again, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We giggle and smile to ourselves when we hear from you guys. So really, it's we appreciate it. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Please continue listening, rating, downloading, telling a friend, tell an acquaintance, send your pod pets because we friggin' love pod pets.
Hell yes. If you're on Spotify, don't forget to scroll down when you're looking at the like title of whatever episode you're watching. If you just scroll down, there's like always a little Q&A. Sometimes there are fun little polls that we do when Allie and I are feeling like spunky.
Feeling a little punchy.
I know, it is fun. We do love it. And really, I know you guys know this, but this is a two-woman show. It is Allie and I doing all of this from tables and our couches and laptops. And there's nothing, there's nothing more than that. So it really is just like us chatting as friends with you here. And we're so excited that you're here.
It just feels like each week the table just gets bigger and there's more people sitting at it, but it's awesome. But it's still, we're all just hanging out.
Yeah.
There's no production company. There's no network. There's no anything. It's just we put it on. We do all our social media. We do our editing. We do mm-hmm. our recording. We do our research. So it's a lot of work that goes into it.
Especially for two girls who, like, this isn't our job. It's not our full-time job. This is our for fun. So,
but it's really awesome that when we hear from you guys, it's just like, oh, we should keep doing this. This is something. Because Abby and I were having these conversations anyway. So if you guys want to be a part of that conversation, then we just say there's always room at the table and we'd love for you to be there. But we just got to know that you guys want to keep hearing it.
It's also kind of surreal, too, to think about. Because every time Allie and I do this, it is just her and I at the table. Even though we're recording it and hanging out with you right now at time of production, if you will, it's just us. So it's really cool to see all the people who pull up a seat next to us, because we don't get that visual otherwise. It's not like a concert where we get to go and see all the faces in the crowd. We just hope. And so it's really cool when you guys leave any input for us, whether that's a like or a comment or a follower, an email. We just love interacting with you guys. It's very fun.
Or when you, like, you know, tag you and five friends in the comments and you're like, haha, so us, you should listen to this, haha. Anyway,
as you can tell, Allie does the social media.
Yes, if you respond to anything on Instagram, you're likely talking to me.
If you get me, I will always say, hey, it's Abby, and then
yes, because normally it's me, and I speak for both of us a lot, because I'll text Abby and be like, oh my god, look at this really nice message we got,
and then we just sit there and we're like, they're so nice.
People are so nice in a world where so many people are so mean.
I know. I'm glad that we've been very intentional about building a community that is, like, controversy free for the most part. If we make an editing mistake or say the wrong thing, people are so nice about it. We'll correct it.
I know.
And we learn and grow.
If only we had the magic wand where nothing ever went wrong and we always were able to articulate what we meant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of those things. So,
well, and I think it's really only ever happened once. But even beyond that, just people are so good in our little corner of the internet. And I wish that could spread everywhere. Like, I wish people would just be more like the ATFTC fam, you know? Yeah. Ew, that's kind of mushy. I kind of want to get into it today.
That sounds culty. Okay.
It does a little. You guys, shut it down. I am not a charismatic leader, damn it. I can't do that. That's too much pressure. All right. So I wanted to talk to you guys today about a case. And before I get super far into it, I want to give you some Abby lore.
Ooh.
I know. It should be very fun. But
is it about your big ass feet?
Oh, I thought you were just going to say my big ass. And I was like, you know it.
That too.
Now that you added my feet in.
Is it also about your big ass feet?
No.
And if you don't know what we mean, we're referring to an episode quite a little ways back on stalking.
Yeah. And my clown feet, and Allie is like 2 inches high, so her Polly Pocket little feet, and it's a whole thing.
Yes.
But also, all that to say, there's more Abby lore than that. Come on. She might be a varsity bowler, and she might have big ass feet.
But she's got layers.
But she, I am like an ogre. I am like an onion. I have plenty of layers. So first and foremost, I think that what we're going to talk about today is tragic and incredibly relatable as a tale of what it's like to be a young woman in today's society, and specifically in today's dating pool.
Oh, so you're hitting me hard with one of those.
I believe this is one of those rare cases where incredible police work happened, caught the guy, did a great job, and this all happened internationally. So this
holy
is like
holy shiznits,
100% a fuck yes case. Like, everything other than this tragic loss went well in
but
this
all
case.
The other parties involved to bring justice stepped up and did what they needed to do.
Absolutely. In a way that is almost beyond believable. It is so smooth,
and it's multi-agency.
Yeah.
Damn, that never happens.
So I do want to take you on a ride, though.
Yay!
So if you guys could just put, like, your little hands and feet and arms and legs, like, inside the ride at all times, pull down that little lap bar and that shoulder harness, baby, because we're going for a ride.
Yes.
All right. So are you guys ready to go?
Are you ready to rock?
One, two, beep.
Yeah.
Did they ever do that too at Six Flags?
Yes.
Yeah, the fake outs every time.
Love but it.
Now that we're all buckled in together, I want to take you back to the magical year of 2018.
Hmm.
Okay. It's December. I was 6 years younger than today. bubbly and stupidly, endlessly energetic. And in college, losing my shit.
Mm.
Okay. I met a man on the apps, you will. For those of you who know, I am your fun local bi, but this was a very fine man. Okay.
Was he really, though?
He was. When we first matched, we matched because I was like, oh my gosh, cutie.
Is this Tinder?
I think so. It was either Tinder or Bumble. It could have been both.
Like, yeah. I don't know how that works. I had already found mine.
So yeah. You're just along for the ride.
So I was just like, I'll be your little wing woman. I'll support, do whatever. But I had no idea how the apps work. So bear with me.
So essentially, I saw this man. He was fine as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he had similar interests. He was into photography. He liked artsy shit. He liked plants.
So you saw his little bio and you were like.
I was like, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And we messaged for a while. I was just getting out of one hell of a relationship. So this was also my first date back in the dating game.
Hells yeah.
Okay. I think we even did like our Secret Santa that night. I had like a cute little outfit on. Ooh. I was really excited. And this man, part of the reason that I liked him so much and I was excited to like get to talk to him in person was that he has immigrated here from like a billion places.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up all over the place. He was born in France, raised in South Africa, and eventually made his way over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went on our first date and we had texted a bit, figured out where we were going. As you all know, Allie and I are the anxious mom friends, CJ girlies. So all of my friends, of course, knew what car he drove, what his license plate number was, where we were going, what movie we were seeing.
Had your location, when to expect you home.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I'm going to call this man Toby.
Okay, Toby. All right.
Toby, because of the language difference,
mm-hmm.
took me to a restaurant.
Correct.
And the restaurant was not the restaurant he texted me. But it was off by like a letter.
Mm.
Okay. And when I looked up the other one, it did exist around. So I didn't think twice. And then we got there and I was like, this is not where we said we were going. Not that it's like a big deal, but like, I don't know, correct yourself.
But it's not what I told the four trusted adults,
right,
that are watching out for me tonight.
Correct. So we go in, and another thing for you guys, I love gluten. Gluten does not love me. So part of the reason that I ask for this stuff up front is that I can make sure I can eat there.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, but at least I could at the place he sent first and not at the place that Toby actually fucking took me. But
God damn it, Toby.
Right. So we're sitting there. I will say dinner was fab. The food was so good. It did not like me. I loved it.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. I love a scampi. I don't know what to tell you. So we're sitting there. And because he is both a man and from multiple different places, his voice is very low and he talks in a very thick accent, which mm-hmm. was very fun to listen to, by the way. But he talked with his hand over his mouth the whole time, so it sounded kind of like this. And then on top of that, he'd talk like in a really deep pitch, kind of like this. And then he'd also talk in like an accent that was kind of Russian, but you know what I mean, like it's hard to understand him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay. So I'm like leaning over the table the whole time we're talking. I am trying to get anything out of him. The conversation's so fucking dull that even when I can't understand him, I wish I didn't. He was like, I love photography too. And I was like, oh my gosh, great. Like, let's talk about it. Cause same. And he was
like, I mean, dick pics.
It's not that far off. He literally was like, do you want to see what I do? And I was
didn't mean to do that to Toby.
Yeah, for sure. And Toby pulls up his little fucking phone and he points to the camera app and he's like, I use that one to take the pictures. And he points to another app and he's like, I use that one to edit them. I'm like, oh my God.
No.
So this is how our date starts.
And I use this one for the calculator because it looks like a calculator.
And there's numbers on it.
Oh, no.
So Toby and I leave dinner.
Sounds nice, though.
Toby just, does sound nice.
Just, you know, a rough go at it in the beginning. That can happen.
Right. And so then afterwards, we had plans to see Christopher Robin. He picked the movie. I did not. Okay.
Oh, no, you still went.
Hold on.
No.
We are at the beginning of this ride.
Ma'am.
So.
It's bumpy already.
Oh, I know. We haven't even gotten to the loop-de-loop. So we are like, okay, we're done with dinner. There's an awkward amount of time before the movie, which he chose was Christopher Robin. And I was like, that's very interesting. That's like a kid's movie.
But isn't, oh, I thought it was the scary version of it. Is it not? Or like no, the real.
No, it's just like the.
But it's real people with the bear, no?
I think so. I don't know. This was a while ago, but there's an awkward amount of time in between. And I'm like, I don't really know what to do because I don't even really want to go and see this thing. Mm. And for those of you who have not been on a date that is a dinner and a movie, that's a long fucking date.
Mm.
It's a long date. It's like a work day's worth of time.
Go to the movie first, then at least you have a talking point that's the movie.
Exactly. Well, I was not that smart. Mm. So we get out. We go to get in the car so that we can drive to the movie, as you do.
Correct.
So we walk our little butts out. We have our little doggy bags full of the food.
Mm-hmm.
And the car's not there.
Mm.
We go to the little parking lot. No car.
But you saw where he parked because he picked you up, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was there.
It was. Okay. His car had been towed.
Oh, no.
And if there's one thing that a man with a very low voice, thick accent, who's quiet as hell, can't do, it's call a tow truck company to figure out how to get his car back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so me, I'm like.
Is it nighttime?
Yes. I'm like, oh, this is obviously a very elaborate human trafficking scheme. And I got so stressed. I was like texting my friends. I was like, the car's gone, question mark. People are like, we need to come pick you up. And
this restaurant was not where he said it was.
Right. And I called the place, like the number that the tow sign said. And I was like, hey, what do we need to do to get this car back? Where do we need to go? What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And we figure it out. Well, we start walking. It is not that bad. Actually, it's like kind of perfect because by the time we get to the ATM to get the cash that he needs to get his car back and get to the car, like we could walk there. It was less than half a mile.
Mm.
It would have been perfect timing to go to see the movie.
Mm.
And I was like, great. Least amount of talking possible. We are like in this for the clear. We're good to go. So we go to the ATM. We grab the money. We're walking back. This little African prince is acting like it's negative 20 outside, and as a girl who comes from a state where I've experienced wind chills in the negative 40s, it was not okay. It was like 15 degrees,
but it's cold when it's you cold. Don't know that when
it's you cold, you know, but if you walk for it, you warm up. So we're walking. True. And I'm like, move your butt, guy, like you're cold because you're shuffling.
It's like when people from Florida come up to New England and they're like, oh my god,
it's like a normal fall day.
And I'm like, this is shorts weather, what are you talking about?
So he calls his friends.
Yes.
And he's speaking French. And now keep in mind, I speak French, but I speak textbook French that you learn in high school, which is usually far more formal than anybody in a different language actually speaks.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know French slang.
Right.
I know how to conjugate fucking verbs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Awesome. But what does that mean?
Right.
And so I can't keep up with him. Which is stressful in and of itself, because I'm like, what are you saying? What's happening right now?
And what car are you arranging to come pick me up and stuff me in the trunk?
Literally, I was like, this is the world's best human trafficking scheme or the world's worst luck for this man. And so he hangs up and he's like, my friends are going to come pick us up and drive us to the car.
No, the fuck they're not.
At this point, I'm frantically texting my friends. We find like his friends pull up in the car. They're like, 15 minutes in our walk, like not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's a white sedan, here's a partial plate, like,
and
my friends are like, are you dying? Do we need to come get you? Why are you sending us partial plate numbers? So we finally get to
the movie.
It's
for my missing flyer if something
literally
happens.
Literally.
Yes.
Last scene wearing. Thank you. It was a cute selfie.
It's literally the if I go missing binder, but just in a thread of text messages.
Exactly. So honestly, though, friends were lovely. Loved his friends.
Hmm.
So nice. But kind of wish I was on a date with them, not him. But we get the car back. We go. We still go to this movie.
Oh, no.
Because it's before I feel comfortable saying, I don't want to do that. Take me home.
Yeah.
And it's my first date back. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I should at least like see it through. Mm-hmm. I should be good. So we go to this movie. And I know what you're thinking. Great. What a good way to decompress with Christopher Robin, a child movie. Well, it was Robin Hood.
Oh.
And I'm like, once again, guy, understood, but correct yourself. If you're wrong, correct. Send me a screenshot. You don't have to type it. That's fine. Screenshots are great.
No.
And we start off and it's like, this is not your average Robin Hood. And at the end, he was like, I didn't like it. That wasn't like normal Robin Hood. And I was like, yeah, they said that at the fucking top, bro. Like, what?
Oh, no.
And obviously, you all know that I'm loud and obnoxious. And I usually you have a fun time not. With that. But I was so quiet on the way home. I didn't know what to say to this man. I could not keep a conversation. And that's rare for me. So we finally get back.
He sounded good on the app.
Yeah. And he grabs my hand and he goes, I want to be with you, but if you need more time, I'll allow that. And like literally Wizards of Waverly Place came over my body. I was like, CNPE, and like ran out of the car.
No.
So that was my terrible Tinder date story, basically. I don't know if it was Tinder, but you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Today's bad Tinder date did not go as well.
Yeah. I feel like yours
at first
is like the standard, like mediocre. Like it mm-hmm. wasn't an unpleasant experience, no. But probably not someone I'm going to go on a date with again. It's a lot of trial and error, speed dating type yeah. thing. And then there's the ones that end so much fucking worse.
Yes. And I was lucky. I knew this was probably not going to be the man of my dreams.
Mm.
Even before we went out, and I was right, and that's fine. But today I want to talk about Grace Mullane.
Oh, I love that name, Grace.
Before we get too far into it, I am going to offer a few trigger warnings, and a few of the many sources that I used. As always, they're always linked below. Today's is going to be linked into a Google Doc because there's so many, but also I have some links to share that I think you all would like to see. So mm-hmm. you can go click on that for any of those. But just for a short list, I used BBC, CNN, Sky News, Sun Times, Daily Mail, and more. And just for the trigger warnings, please take care of you. Today we're going to be talking about murder and violence and sexual assault and just disgusting people or person, I guess. But take care of you. The ATFTC fam would not be the same without you. And a much lighter trigger warning for all of New Zealand, because I have zero pronunciation skills and I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I promise I'm trying. Oh, so we're going to
New Zealand.
We are.
So, I would actually genuinely love to go there. So.
Skipper, stop skipping. We're officially at the point where I'm going to tell you the crime
actual case. Now
that we're like forever into this episode.
Hells yeah.
So, pods on. Grace Mullane was a beautiful young woman. She was born on December 2nd, I believe in 1996, in Wickford, Essex, England.
Ooh.
To Gillian and David Mullane.
Oh, she is beautiful.
Grace has two older brothers, and we're going to time jump here. We're not staying in 1996 long. I just wanted you to get a sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're time jumping to 2018, the same time as my crazy date.
Oh, wow.
I have not looked this up. It has the potential to be the same week as my crazy date, but that would require filtering through a lot of Snapchat memories. So if I find it, I'll put it in the resources list. But otherwise, exact same timeline.
Okay, so she's born in 96, so 20, we're talking 2018, so she's about 21, 22 years old?
She's 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
New Zealand. She's beautiful. My goodness.
Well, we start out in England because Grace, she was born in Wickford, Essex, England, but just to get a sense of like her background and her family, because she was traveling to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Back in England, Grace had just graduated college, or uni for all you British people out there. Hey. Grace has these beautiful big eyes that I thought were brown, but honestly also look blue in some photos. So maybe they're contacts, but maybe she just has the world's coolest eyes, question mark.
I'm seeing blue in the pictures. Either way, no matter what, she's beautiful. Her smile is striking.
Yes, these big, happy cheeks that when you see, like, you know you want a hug from that kind of person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she has the smile that makes you finally feel, like, the slightest bit excited for youths to be the future. Like, when I saw her, I was like, I could live in a world where she has some control over some things. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know? And Grace has this beautiful long brown hair. It's light, it's straight, but not for nothing, she got fucking good eyebrows. Like, those are damn good eyebrows.
I noticed that too.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a girly who always does her eyebrows, Grace has ideal eyebrows. Anyway, Grace was super well-rounded. She loved hockey and music and her family, and she wanted to travel the world. She was so gregarious and adventurous. Now, in 2018, since Grace was graduating, she was celebrating, as you do. She had gotten a degree in both advertising and marketing from the University of Lincoln, and she was so excited to take a little bit of time to celebrate the incredible accomplishment she just earned.
She earned that. She absolutely should. Is this what her New Zealand trip is? Is a kind of graduation gift to herself?
Basically, yeah. So I'm not sure if this is a common thing in England. Over in the States, at least, we talk about gap years usually between high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
But Grace kept calling this her gap year. She was going to take a year after doing all of her education before joining the workforce.
Good for her.
So she was having a year for fun, for like self-growth and adventures. Her mom, Jillian, had taken a gap year after her graduation. So actually, just like Jillian, Grace wanted to travel, go to all of these places. And it kind of was a way to connect her to her mom.
Kind of a rite of passage to her mom did it. You know, now she's at that time. She's worked her butt off.
Right. And I think this probably meant a great deal to Grace, not just because of the adventurous spirit mm-hmm. she had. And again, that it's something her mom had done. But I think it was a really great way to keep connected with Jillian, her mom. See, Jillian had just beaten a really tough battle of breast cancer. And wow. In my head, I think I would be so looking forward to having an experience that could not only deepen the bond I had with my mom, but create kind of a new kindred relationship with following in her footsteps.
Mm.
And so for Grace, this was so exciting. It was like, okay, the work is done. It is playtime. I'm doing these things that mean a lot to me, but also I'm so excited for. The trip that she had planned would have her end up in South America, New Zealand, Thailand, Australia, and even the Philippines.
Good for her. Was she traveling by herself?
Yes. Well, she was traveling by herself, but in many places she had like groups of people that she was joining with.
Oh, that's so cool.
So she wasn't all the way alone, but she also wasn't like traveling with some sort of big agency.
Yeah, like she didn't go on like a best friend's trip somewhere. Right. She's kind of doing it solo and catching up with people. That is so brave and independent. I think of that and I don't know if I could do it.
Really?
I think I would be nervous. I think I'd be stressed. And honestly, I think there would be part of me that I would want some of the people that I love to be there with me.
Oh, yeah.
There are a few memories I want to make with just myself. Not that there aren't certainly things I would do alone if I had to, but mm-hmm. I think I would have a lot of fun doing that with the people that I love and care about. And I don't know that I'd have the confidence. I think I'd be nervous. I think the true crime anxiety brain in me would say, how can I best keep myself safe? It's just a scary thought, but in cases that I'm assuming like these that have put that in the forefront of my mind, because we have to be.
We do.
You know, and diligent.
Diligent and also vigilant, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just knowing that it can be a problem, but it's trying to make sure that you're watching out for the warning signs as problems may or may not occur. And I think for a lot of us anxiety girlies, the goal is always to know everyone that possibly can occur, but we don't usually give the same amount of time and thought and energy into the ones for things to not go wrong.
Right.
So I admire this part of Grace. I also resonate a little bit with it. At 18, I left home and I went to a different time zone.
True.
And I was like, you know what? No, this is good. I got this.
You did. That's pretty cool.
I don't know where the fuck that confidence came from, but I was like, yeah, no, I can just go hang out in this little place 1,000+ miles from home and not know anyone. This is great. And honestly, it was. I loved college. But, like, I definitely resonate with that, and I also admire her ability to do it on a much grander scale.
Yeah.
And for a long time, too.
Yeah, like, months long, like, backpacking through different countries and stuff like that just sounds very cool and very, like, this is marking time for you. This is, okay, I'm branching out. I'm doing, right. This is the thing that I want to do on my own. This is...
It's a big life event.
Beginning my life separate from all of these other things that I was tied into, and now I need to fly.
Yeah, fly, little baby.
Fly, little birdie. Well,
the best part of this trip for Grace, after all of that, she'd also be traveling on her 22nd birthday, which meant she was going to live it up.
Oh, to be 22
in
again.
Australia, right? It's so hard being so old.
I know.
Anyway, we're going to pick up on December 1st, 2018, though.
Okay.
So Grace had just arrived in New Zealand after like 6-ish weeks of being in South America. She was staying at this lodging site that had been popular with backpackers and tourists, and Grace got on Tinder. My guess is during the boring drive from probably the flight to whatever base backpackers location she was staying at. Mm-hmm. But she landed her little self in Auckland, New Zealand.
Okay.
Grace had texted one of her good friends later that night. She was said she was on a date and it was going so well. She texted her friend that they were drinking and the evening was going really well. And one of her texts even read like verbatim, "We just click so well." She shared that her date lived in a hotel nearby and her friend was like, "Oh my God, girl, you got to get up in that. I bet it's like a penthouse." And she was just really excited. But here's where things get sticky, because that text is the last time anyone hears from our beautiful Grace. And the next day, December 2nd, 2018, or you might remember her birthday, Grace's family sent her happy birthday messages and tried to call her and wish her happy sentiments, as you do. But Grace didn't answer.
No, no.
Grace didn't pick up the phone and... You know, she had a slew, but you know the ones of Facebook that's like 80 people that you talked to one time 18 years ago. And now they're now they type comments. HBD yeah. on your wall for whatever reason. Yeah, she had a slew of those and she didn't really answer those either. But initially, that was pretty strange. It's not like Grace and her family was worried, but they weren't panicked. They were like, okay, she literally just landed in New Zealand. She is probably jet lagged. She is probably tired. We just need to give her some time. She'll get back to us when she gets back to us. Mm-hmm. But as the day came and went, her family was getting more anxious. And the next day, the morning turned to afternoon, turned to evening, and Grace's family was really starting to worry. They knew it was out of character for Grace at all to not respond, let alone to not respond to any birthday messages. And as they updated their internet and they saw that her posts weren't liked and the Facebook stuff wasn't going answered and their calls weren't getting answered, they really started to worry. 3 days after her birthday, on December 5th, 2018, Grace's parents, Jillian and David Mullane, officially reported her missing to New Zealand. From Britain.
What an awful, helpless feeling to be her family.
Uh-huh.
Who's so far away, who's so proud of her for going on this trip and being independent. But in the back of your... I mean, that's your kid.
Yeah.
That's your baby.
That's your
Whether
baby.
She's 22 or she is too, that's your baby.
Yeah.
And you... are protective, but you want to let her go, you know? And so maybe the first few hours go by and you're like, okay, she's sleeping in, you know, she always does that. Of course she gets the time. She doesn't have to set an alarm.
Right.
Now she can sleep in. And then a few more hours go by and say, okay, that's quite the amount of time to sleep in. Maybe she got up and took herself to lunch or,
right. you maybe know, she met a friend at the backpacking spot and got carried away.
Maybe she doesn't have service, but she knows we're calling, right? You know, mm-hmm. and I imagine that those start to just as each hour passes, it feels worse and worse and worse. And then you look at your family and you're like, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? How helpless and hopeless do you feel, where it's literally, it's not up the road. She's not up that you can't just go get her, go look for her yourself.
No,
easily.
Exactly. And I literally wrote in my notes, I was like, I don't even know how you fucking go about that. Like, I have a master's degree in criminal justice and I'd still be Googling how to report someone missing in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they were able to do this, did it within a relatively quick time span, especially for a girl who was traveling, where that could have been let go much longer. It's all impressive to me and also heartbreaking, because I can only imagine what that's like to just be twiddling your thumbs in a different continent, you know? And so the good news, though, is that New Zealand got on it right fucking quick. They were on that shit.
Wow.
I think it's important to mention, though, that New Zealand took this super fucking seriously. I mean, obviously, they acted quick, but also I just find it so impressive for a number of reasons. Number one, there have been so many times in history where a young woman who was alone or traveling or just was young and hadn't been heard from in 3 days wouldn't be enough to warrant a response.
Mm-hmm.
That she either wouldn't have been valued to a point where it would have been looked into, or it wouldn't have been prioritized. So I think that's huge. But number two, New Zealand didn't shame the family. They hopped right on it. They were like, okay, great. What can you help us with? What can we do? They weren't like, why did you wait so long?
Right.
And so this is one of the best investigations I've ever seen, personally.
Wow.
Both in my professional experience and in our podcast history of looking through all of these cases. I love that this case really embodies modern day investigating, because this case is in a world where there is technology all around us and it has so much fucking CCTV footage.
Dang.
Which is so good.
Oh, those CCTV like security cameras, when you see them afterwards,
mm-hmm.
I think when we, if you guys remember back in episode 10, if you've been listening that long,
throwback.
One of the things that stuck out to Abby and I in that case especially was just how haunting it was that CCTV captured the last moments of somebody's life when they didn't know that those were the last moments, and just how haunting and like, it's like a silent film. It's just like, yeah, the silence is deafening in listening, like in listening into watching those, and just how, first of all, creepy it is sometimes that you're like, yeah, always on, you're always being recorded, but also that you can unknowingly be like, your final moments can be filmed and you have got no idea. You're just walking across the street, or you're ducking into, right, work, or you're grabbing a coffee, or you're doing this, and it gets captured, which is great, but it gets captured, and how terrifying is that, and how haunting and eerie is it to be the one to look at that afterwards and say, oh, like 5 minutes from this frame she was dead.
Yeah,
terrifying.
I think it's so scary. I also, fun fact, so in my master's I took a class that had a lot to do with like technology and current day policing and investigating, and apparently in London you can, like, the average person is on 400 CCTV cameras a day.
That's
a day.
Terrifying.
And so it is great. It does raise a lot of questions about privacy and the rights to those pieces of footage and all of that, but mm-hmm. that's not for today. I am just freaking excited that there was anything, because similar to Paige's case, in Grace's case, you can see the last time she was ever seen alive.
Oh, that's so haunting.
She goes up an elevator and never comes down, and you can find this footage. Like, it is not that hard.
Wow.
So I also want to note, though, before we get too far into anything else, that Grace's family did not sit idly by. Despite the fact that they were a continent over, Grace's dad, David Mullane, flew over to Auckland, New Zealand the exact next day after reporting it. Like, he literally booked the first flight he could get out of there and went.
I am not surprised by that.
Not in the slightest. But also, the police were concerned and suspicious, but didn't like suspect foul play or anything yet. They were still sort of investigating. And while her other family members were home, her brothers and her mom, Grace's family was sort of in correspondence with the police and were able to help them by going through her social media. So they saw that, you know, her Facebook messages were not responded to, not opened, like they were just piling up from her birthday on. And we're going to time skip just a little bit because the report that she had been missing was made on the 5th of December. But Grace's body was found very soon after on December
8th, 2018. Hmm. So a week after her, she went missing?
Yeah. Before we get all the way into the investigation, which really does not take too long, I want you to know what Grace's family knew. Because on December 9th, 2018, the Mullane family received the news that Grace's body had been found stuffed in a suitcase in the middle of a wooded region about 40 minutes outside of Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh.
Grace's death was devastating to them, and her family calls her Human Sunshine, which I think is adorable and heartbreaking in the same breath. When the news came out, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern actually apologized, noting what a tragedy Grace's death was, and also she apologized because Grace should have been safe in New Zealand and wasn't. I love that that was the approach to this.
Mm-hmm.
It was not trying to cover up your footsteps. It wasn't trying to be like, oh, never here. She was like, no, your daughter should have been safe with us, and she wasn't, and that's on us. And I don't know, I just really like that approach to leadership, especially when it comes with such devastating loss.
Yeah.
But yay for New Zealand being invested in humanity. You go, girl. Now, lucky for all of us, the investigation here was also incredibly well done. So just like pretty much buy all of New Zealand a drink, I guess, is the answer from this case. New Zealand has an incredibly good system of CCTV. Due to this effective policing with an incredibly helpful family unit, the police had brought in a suspect to question before Grace's body was even found.
Good.
Which is huge. Especially in a case where you're like, we're not convinced it's foul play yet. But let's chat, shall we?
Yeah, like, when was the last time you saw, when was the last time you saw her?
Right, exactly. And so before we get to this mystery man, I want to mention a few things. First, New Zealand had, at least at the time, a law that prevented Mr. Man's name from getting out, which is wild. Apparently it was to sort of protect his identity from the media onslaught of it so that he could have a fair trial, that people could say like, oh, let's hear this case and not know that he was the guy all over the place.
Okay.
Now, other countries, though, were not under this regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, like, we don't have the same laws. We don't have to follow those. We're not in those countries. There was actually an article that was released in the States that released this man's name. And that's how it got out at first. And it was kind of like a whole thing. But we were like, freedom of speech, babies. So we did it anyway. I know that it meant his name was prematurely outed. I don't care. Okay, so I'm actually going to call him by his name this whole time. And I believe that that is not an issue in New Zealand anyway, because he's already sentenced.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Mann's is Jesse Kempson. Oh, I did also just want to note, though, that since there is a law about his name not being released,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that the fact that it was released prematurely actually led to anything in this case. Like, I don't think it messed anything up. I don't think it led to anything out of the norm. I don't think that really had an impact at all. Because we'll hear a lot of evidence that has nothing to do with recognition of a man's name.
Right.
So, just so we know, I don't think that that's the case. But since I didn't study New Zealand law, I want it known. Like, mm-hmm. that's just a part of what happened here. But the investigation found some shit that we better check in on.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it again. Back to December 1st, when Grace showed up to New Zealand.
Yes.
Because police were able to use the help of the family, the friends, and the technology and internet, heyo, to find out the details of Grace's last few hours. Police learned that Grace was last seen from her roommates at the backpacking hostel on December 1st. They also learned that Grace had been with a group in her travels in South America, but went solo to Auckland. So she wasn't with an entire group of people, at least at this point mm-hmm. in her trip there, which I believe was part of her plan. It didn't sound like that went awry or anything, mm-hmm. but yeah, she wasn't
groups to meet up with when she gets there.
Right, exactly. So she wasn't with anyone at this point. But after looking into social media and following the CCTV to create a timeline, by December 5th, they were bringing in Grace's Tinder date from that night. Now, like I said, I love this investigation. It's quick, it's efficient, it's pretty open and shut. But so that we go through the motions with the police here, they bring Jesse in. They read some Tinder messages between the two where Jesse had come on incredibly strong to be like, let's go out. He was like, oh, it's your birthday. What are you doing? Like, I don't know, all of these things. And Grace was like, yeah, convince me to go out.
Yeah, sure. Twist my arm.
Right. She literally was like, yeah, no, convince me.
Seriously?
Yeah. No. And he was like, it'll be a great time. I'll buy shots. We can get Mexican food. And she was like, no to the Mexican food. Yes to the shots. And I was like, kind of an orange flag, Grace. We should love Mexican food, but I'll let it slide.
So, but I don't. Now, hear me out. Maybe yeah. the Mexican food in New Zealand isn't incredible. Maybe she heard a rumor.
No, you know what? I take that back. As a general statement, orange flag. As a traveler, I see you.
I get that. I don't know.
No, thank you for that, because I was not thinking about that. What a privilege to have good Mexican food. Anyway.
It is, though.
I love an empanada.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So she's like, I don't want the shits tonight in case I don't like this.
Right. Or in case I like it so much and we go up to your place, I don't want to be shitting all night.
Correct. You know? Yeah.
So she's like, let's just get some drinks. And it went great. But here is the timeline that the police put together as follows. Grace left her hostel around 5:37 p.m. She then walked 400 meters across the corner, a 2-minute drive for anybody looking up, to Sky City. Sky City was a casino type of place. It looked like there was like a lot of shops there. There was a lot to do. It was inside. It was big. It was very brightly lit. There were lots of cameras because it seemed like a casino type of place. And well, that goes hand in hand. At 5:45 p.m., Grace meets a man who she gets a big hug from in front of the casino at Sky City. Then the two went in where they had a few drinks for an hour and a half or so. Later, the couple went to a Mexican restaurant at 7:20-ish.
Okay.
And they had some tequila, but did not have tacos. So she stuck to her word.
Chips and salsa for me. Thank you.
Thank you. And then later, they went bar hopping over to the Bluestone Room where they had a few more drinks.
That sounds like such a good night, though.
Yeah. And this is when Grace texted her friend from Britain about like clicking so well and really liking him. And her friend was like, yes, check out that penthouse suite, you know?
Yeah.
And so finally, the two left about 9:40 p.m. arm in arm. And they went back to the City Life Hotel where her date lived.
Okay.
So they start the date. She leaves her hotel. They meet up. They have drinks. They go bar hopping. They go back to his place.
Okay, and every inch of this is captured on camera.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And there's little else spooky about this case, but the CCTV footage is so prominently eerie. You can find it anywhere, literally, if you look for it. But you can just see the last elevator ride she took. And I think that it's just daunting, especially knowing what happens.
Oh, I just looked it up.
So they bring in her Tinder date. They bring in her Tinder date, Jesse Kempson, for questioning on December 6th. So okay. This is 2 or 3 days before her body's even found.
Shit.
And they're like, okay, hey, let's talk about your Tinder date. And let's talk about what we know about Jesse first, though. Because Jesse isn't the world's like sweetest Tinder match who's lonely after a 4-year-long relationship breakup looking for new ways to meet people since he's been out of it. Okay. In fact, wait, you know what? I'll go into specifics in a minute, but let me see if this experience resonates with anyone.
Okay.
Have you ever had a friend that you adore? They're smart, they're kind, they're sweet and giving and loving, but they just pick the worst fucking partners.
Yes.
the ones that mooch, that refuse to hold down a job, they refuse to pull their weight around the house if they're not providing financially, who won't do the dishes or walk the dog even when you're sick. Mm-hmm. They borrow a ton of money, but they never pay it back. They're always saying some sort of vague lie that you're like, come on, guy, just what the fuck is happening? Like, why mm-hmm. are you acting like this? And they just won't fucking break up with him.
Yep.
They won't do it. Jesse is that guy.
Jesse's the boyfriend.
Yes. Jesse would rather air his mistakes in a way that he can say, but hey, I know it's an issue I'm working on, so that you can't fight him.
Bet.
He.
I'll take him.
You would probably win.
Probably.
You definitely win. Jesse would be the kind of guy to put an empty milk container back in the fridge so that he was just reminding you that you need to go buy that because you have the job. And he wanted to show you that it was empty. So he didn't throw it out. He just put it back, even though it's a opaque container and you can't see through it. So that way, when you go to get like your cereal at midnight, it's dry and you didn't even want that this time.
I'd put it on his side of the bed and be like, oh, well, I figured you'd want to sleep with it since you wanted to hold on to it so fucking long.
Jesse's the kind of guy who sells you a stolen Ford.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I just don't have the pink slip because it's in the office. Come on. So.
He's like, but it's got good bones. It's well made.
Right? He put on Facebook at one point a post. And I have to read this to you guys. Mm-hmm. It's relevant. It's like, I don't need to read it word for word, but I'm gonna. he put on Facebook at one point a post that said, and I quote, my clear arrogance and selfishness has truly affected the relationship I have with people in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that on Facebook? Mm-hmm. You're like, you know what? I was shit. And then I treated people like shit. But I know that I treated people like shit.
Anyway, it's 10 a.m. and I'm going to get a coffee. Anyone need anything?
Literally. Anybody want to buy mine for me? Fucking guy. So in all reality and joking aside, Jesse was incredibly troubled. From early in his life, he had difficulty with mental health and seemed to lie and steal and cheat his way through most of his childhood. Jesse was born in Wellington, New Zealand in 1992 and had some reports of having significant mental health. One of the podcasts I listened to on this case actually said there was a time where Jesse's family told him he needed to get mental health help or leave. So it was like, you can stay here and get help for your problems mm-hmm. or get out because we're done dealing.
Yeah, you have to want to change. So if you're going to make some progress and work on that, or if you're going to stay the way you are, you can't do that here.
And I haven't read a lot from like any of his family members, so I didn't personally see this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't doubt that it's true. And I trust the podcast that I listen to. So I think we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, on the 7th of December, the New Zealand Police Department had a meeting with Grace's father, David. Unfortunately, though, by December 8th, that was when police informed Grace's family that she was no longer alive and her body had been found. So they pulled Jesse into another interview.
Oh, so he's not even the one who led them to the body.
No. No, they okay. found that on their own. He said in that first interview, he was like, oh, we had a great time. We went out. It was a really awesome date. We went to a casino. We went bar hopping. Ended about 9:30-ish. And then I went out with another friend.
Mm.
Which the CCTV does say that they left around 9:40.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't go out with another friend.
No, I'm literally looking at the video of them up in the elevator right now.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So don't, the lie detector don't test lie to determined me. That was a lie.
Don't lie, Jesse.
And they pull him in for another interview and he fucking panics. Okay.
Good.
He's like, yeah. Okay. So listen, something happened because of course it did. He said, Grace and I met on Tinder and we went on a date and we clicked so well. We clicked so well that we went up into my room and started hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Getting spicy. Mm-hmm. Pretty normal at first, but eventually Jesse says that Grace wanted to take a break and talk about switching it up, which personally, I just really like the idea of like blowing a little whistle and being like, time, and being like, okay, so here's what I'm thinking for the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But
so on the itinerary, I have.
Right. Correct. I mean, consent is sexy. I like that she was like, hold up. I am interested in something, let's talk real quick. But I do just like the visual of that. Like, I feel like there's a referee in the room.
Are we believing him? Because consent is required, right? Mm-hmm. She shouldn't be doing anything to him. He doesn't want, vice versa.
At this point in time, I believe him. Why not?
Okay.
So, pretty normal. They took a break, talked about switching it up. And Grace had said that she was into BDSM. And I assume you all know what that is. But it's basically a group of like sex kinks that have to do with power and control and dominance. Mm-hmm. And like masochism and sadism, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Grace, and so I just want to remind people, this is like a spectrum of interests. Someone who is into like having furry handcuffs on them, that's technically an element of BDSM. Someone who wants to go full on 50 Shades of Grey and like isn't allowed to pee without someone else saying it's okay, also BDSM. So this is like a very wide range of things.
Sure.
And Grace had said what she wanted was to be tied up and choked a little. Mm-hmm. I also want to put in here, this Jesse did not say this, I am saying this. Mm-hmm. Choking in sex is different than choking for choking. Mm-hmm. I did do research on this for this. I was like, I don't understand.
Way to get flagged for your search history. Oh, I'm loving this. Tell me more.
Listen.
I know.
After the criminal profiling case, I'm already so flagged. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my criminal profiling class, I literally was calling police departments.
Oh, no. Because
we had, it was funny though, because like it happened before I was born. So I was like, hey, I'm just like researching this. What can you share? And they were like, nothing. It's a cold case. It's open. Go home. And I was like, I promise it wasn't me. I was born years after this happened. But I swear I'm on some list for that now. Anyway, so choking during sex is usually pressure applied to the side of your neck, not full frontal. So okay. Like it tightens your airway, but it doesn't cut it off.
Okay.
And people do that. I guess there's some sort of like euphoric feeling that goes along with the oxygen deprivation.
I mean, there's a whole autoerotic, you know.
Yes. And I will say people who partake in autoerotic asphyxiation, which was a wild chapter of my textbook that I read in the library once at school. I was like, I got to can't read that out here. So
you're coming home with me.
Literally. It is far more likely for someone who's into autoerotic asphyxiation to die accidentally doing that.
Yes.
It is significantly harder for two people who are partaking in that to accidentally kill one another. And we'll talk about why, but a lot of that difference is because of the way that you quote unquote choke someone in this setting.
Yeah, there's cases of like people being found by loved ones,
mm-hmm,
after what was supposed to be a pleasurable experience for them, and you can accidentally kill yourself. It's not,
yep,
it's not, no, pretty, it's not pleasant, and the angle of those things is not conducive to you being able to get out easily. That's sort of the whole point.
Often not, and especially just dangerous if there's no one else around to help, to keep an eye out, that kind of thing.
They need to like have like a kill switch or something so that in an emergency somebody like that's could get out. Is not a reason to die, okay? Nope.
No, chasing an orgasm is not enough. Good, it's not a good enough reason to end.
That's just awful.
But anyway, Jesse said, yeah, she wanted to be tied up and choked a little, and he agreed to do that. He said they both took naked pictures of each other, which I know some people are like really into for the actual like moment and like foreplay and stuff. And he said, yeah, we kept going for a little bit after that. And then he says, but I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was so drunk. I was so drunk from being out and having such a good date that I accidentally strangled her too hard. And I was drunk, right? So like when I was done, I didn't notice at first because I went to go to the shower. But I fell asleep in the shower for a few hours. And when I came out, I didn't see her. So I thought she had left.
He fell asleep in the shower?
For a few hours.
Sir,
in this, according to this interview, and he said, so I came out of the shower when I woke up and I was clean and I didn't see her, so I figured she dipped.
I woke up, I was pruny, and
right. He said, and then I curled into bed and I went to bed, and when I woke up I noticed her lying on the floor with some blood coming out of her nose.
Oh,
and
awful.
I checked to see if she was breathing, and she wasn't breathing. And then I panicked and I started to call 911. Well, New Zealand's 911. Mm. I started to call emergency services, but then I stopped and I was like, oh, it would look really bad for a body to be in my room.
Sure would. You know what's worse, though?
Yeah. So then he says, I felt so bad because I clicked so well with Grace. Mm. I had such a good time with her. And I didn't think I deserved to be alive if she wasn't alive. So I took a bunch of pills.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, okay, when was that? And he was like, I tried to take my life, but they just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So now that, now after all of that, mm-hmm. Jesse Kempson was arrested.
Yeah.
Because he's not denying killing Grace. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, there was a reason. It's kosher. It's all good in the hood.
Yeah, she was consenting. What mm-hmm. an awful
yeah.
thing.
And he was okay. like, and I just got so scared. I took a break and fell asleep in the shower for 3 hours.
And I realized it would look really bad
yeah.
if I had a body in my room. So I figured, let's make this look better, put it in a suitcase and abandon it.
Right. So CCTV shows us a lot more of Jesse's story, too.
Ooh.
Which I personally love.
Jesse boy.
See, in the early hours of December 2nd, 2018, Mr. Fuckface over here did some Googling. All right. And if there's one thing I love, it's an internet paper trail. I love it. I love snooping. I love knowing what people want to know.
So you said early December 2nd?
Yes. Okay. So they went out December 1st.
Because her birthday was the 2nd. So right. It's like celebrating her birthday the night before.
Right.
They go back to his place, and then around that time, these Google searches come in, or whatever.
Correct.
Search engine.
So, early, early morning, like before 2 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
searches rigor mortis.
Okay.
Extra large bags. Carpet cleaner.
Okay.
Hottest fire. And Waitakere Ranges, which is like a mountain range nearby.
Mm-hmm.
But wait. There's more.
Mm.
Because Mr. Mance also decides to look up porn between 1:30 and 6 a.m.
What?
Mm-hmm. What in the refractory period is happening?
I'm sorry. So if we're believing him, mm-hmm. his story, which I don't, but let's pretend. Great night with her. Mm-hmm. Great gal.
Amazing.
Bring her home. Getting a little freaky.
Yeah. Have a few rounds, even.
Consenting adults. By all means, have at it. And then you're like doing your thing, squeeze too hard, say, I've worked up a sweat, time to spend an ungodly amount of time in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
You ever fall asleep standing? Because he did. And then come out pruny.
Yeah, and then he didn't drown with all the water in the shower.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then sees her and he's just like, well, you haven't moved. And that's weird.
It's like, good night.
And then realizes she's dead. And he's like, you know what? There's something really hot about that. So I need to look up porn with this dead girl in my room.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing gets my motor running
mm-hmm.
quite like that.
Yep.
Make that one make sense, if you could.
I really like the idea that he was like, we're like mid-bang, right? Because if anything, this story to me just tells me that Jesse Kempson does not make sure a woman orgasms. And that's a crime in my book. I mean, this is all a crime, but like I'm adding an extra charge for that because he basically was like, yeah, I finished and I got up. I didn't even check if she was okay and I went to take a shower.
Yeah, he was like, well, I was done, so like, it's done.
Even in the best case scenario of a story he's making up to sound better, he's like, yeah, no, so I pretty much just left her there.
And if things had gone the way that they should have, he would have gone in the shower. She would have been like, well, that's rude. And left.
Yep.
That would be the end of it. That's she would be alive to be able to do that. So don't give me this shit.
Uh-huh. So, and then after that,
mm-hmm.
he was like, now that I'm showered and refreshed and took a little nappy, I gotta yank it again.
Jesus.
What the fuck?
How?
So anyway, later that morning.
He was not, sorry, but do not say, I was so disturbed by her. you got hard for that, man. Uh-huh. Don't, okay? Like, that is a dead girl, and what an awful, horrific thing that he did, and then to then just not care. Like, he could have gotten her help. If there was any concern, I swear, if they are able to determine that there was a point where she could have been saved, like, that is so maddening, so frustrating for her family, for everything. And then in that and all of that, he still had the clear-headedness, I guess, enough to say, that wasn't enough for me. So now I need to, like, log on to my friggin' favorite porn stars. Now he's basically saying, that wasn't enough, so now I need to go essentially find more,
right,
if you will, online.
Yeah.
While this poor girl has just been brutally killed and just left there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's about it right now.
It hurts.
So
it
then hurts. We find out more. Later that morning on December 2nd, Jesse looked up if there were flesh-eating birds in the Waitakere mountain range.
Okay. Flesh-eating. Okay.
Between 8 and 10 a.m., Fuckface also rented a car and went out to buy a large suitcase.
Okay.
You might think this is wild enough, but if you thought the fact that he had to masturbate after hooking up with someone where he pretty obviously finished first and left based off of that story, do I have news for you?
Mm.
Because he is a popular guy. He's in high demand. That afternoon, he went on another Tinder date.
Oh.
Yeah. He was like, all right, I guess I'll get the supplies to clean up, but, like, I got places to be.
So he still has her body.
Yeah.
And goes on a date while before he's dropped her body off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, could you imagine being that girl?
Mm.
You did what last night or this morning?
Yep. Both. And then you rented the car you came here in?
Oh. Sounds to me like he's done this before.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think we have any charges for it officially, but In between his stories, errands, and Tinder dates, Jesse also rented the carpet cleaner and returned it. And later that night at like 9:30-ish, Jesse had gone downstairs with a suddenly very heavy new suitcase. And he put it in his rental car and then he went up to go to bed. You know?
Okay.
The next day, December 3rd, Jesse drove his car down to the Waitakere Ranges, and on his way, Jesse even stopped at, like, your normal pit stops, you know, probably grabbed, like, a Honey Buns and an Arnold Palmer and a shovel.
No.
And then when he got to the mountain ranges, he buried the suitcase on Scenic Drive, which is where Grace was later found 5 days later.
So he did not dig a deep hole is what it sounds like.
Apparently not deep enough.
How did someone find it?
I hope we all realize that nothing about that series of events was in any way an accident. And I believe he also said that after he buried her body, he took another handful of pills to try to kill himself. But they just don't have any effect on him. Isn't that weird?
He probably took 3 ibuprofen and was like, but do you know how bad that is for your liver?
Literally. You don't rent a car, buy a carpet cleaner, shove a woman into a suitcase that you just bought, and then buy a shovel on the way to the mountain range you just Googled flesh-eating birds in 2 nights before and claim you're shocked.
Mm-mm.
And you don't say that you were so devastated over the loss of this person that you've had one date with that you were going to kill yourself twice and then go on another date the next day. The math ain't mathin'. And so
just how dumb he thinks everyone listening to him is that he's like, you know what? That's a good story. I'm going to go with that. Like, other things came up into his mind. He was like, no. This is the one.
This is the one.
Step aside. This is it.
This is so frustrating to me. Like, him and everything he's got going on. So, like, I boil over. Like, I don't have the capacity for him because he went to trial, as you do, as anyone does. And if that's not enough, At the trial, Jesse's team of lawyers actually decided to use the rough sex defense.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm. So the rough sex defense is, at least in New Zealand and I think a few other countries as well, used in cases where someone murders a partner during consensual sex. Now, when I say murders, kills someone, the point is that it's not a crime of passion. It's not premeditated, but it happened.
But it's an accidental.
But it's accidental.
Consequence of the consensual thing that they were doing.
Right.
Okay.
And so this defense typically asks for a lighter charge, like negligent homicide or voluntary manslaughter instead of like a first or second degree charge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesse's team, I think, actually did a really good job in trying to use this defense, although I find this defense a little barbaric and we'll talk more about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, anywhere where there is not euthanasia, you cannot consent to your own death. So essentially, I can consent all day long to you choking me. I cannot consent to you choking me to death.
Right.
And Jesse's team of lawyers used this trial essentially as a platform to convince them that Grace might have liked BDSM. And I find that very frustrating because that really has nothing to do with it. She can like whatever the fuck she likes. She still can't consent to that being her cause of death. And I understand why they do it. Like, you do have to show evidence and like offer some actual facts to say that this is what we're basing our case on.
Right. And it does need to be factual. I think it's a shame that it seems like the fine, like her life is summed up in what the last half hour was,
mm-hmm.
which was probably something that she would not have discussed with her family. You know,
right.
the details of that would not have been shared otherwise.
Yeah,
that is a private thing, at least to some, and that's something that people are gonna pass judgment on. And right. It's like her life will be summarized as this, oh well, you know, his defense was she wanted him to do that, and so she didn't maybe not want it to die, but was enjoying what dying essentially.
Right. And so
I think
that part of what frustrates me about this is that, like, I have no doubt that she was interested in that kind of things.
She's in a consenting kind of adult. That's completely fine.
Right. I have no doubt that she was interested in that kind of kink.
She's a consenting adult. She can do anything that she wants.
Exactly. And so I think for me, a lot of the frustration is not that this was used in the case to build up this argument. I think it's frustrating because this is where the argument for them starts and stops. Mm-hmm. It's not like, yeah, it was pretty fucked up that he did this on accident and didn't call emergency services. It was just like, she liked it.
Yeah, that's
like,
not...
that's it. And so...
that's not a defense, though.
No, it's not. And what is frustrating to me is, as they talk about this, they literally pull up her, essentially, like, internet history. Mm-hmm. They talk to an ex-boyfriend. She did mention, and Jesse did say this in one of his interviews, that she had lightly tried some stuff with an ex, but, like, they didn't go super far. And so, mainly, the defense's entire case was just taking people from her past that would say, yeah, she wanted to be choked.
And that's all well and fine. And even if none of them said that, that doesn't mean that in this situation that didn't happen. But we're right. Not talking about being choked. We're talking about the choking that resulted in her death.
Correct. And the prosecutor from New Zealand argued back that you cannot consent to your own death, obviously. Even in the most consensual rough sex, Grace Mullane did not ask to be strangled to death. At the trial, the prosecution also brought up the history of violence against women that Jesse Kempson has shown over and over again.
Oh, snap.
They brought up past dates that he had, one of which was another traveler from England, by the way. And he had choked her to the point where she said she was kicking her legs so hard because she couldn't tell if he knew that she was like, not doing well.
That she couldn't breathe, yeah.
Right. And she kicked really hard, she said, for a few minutes before he finally stopped and said something like, you're not going to tell anyone about that, huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Give him the chair.
His roommates say that he was never on time with rent, which I'm not saying has anything to do with his ability to murder someone. I am just saying that's rude as hell. But... He had different.
And another thing.
And another thing.
His socks didn't match.
No, they never did, and they were always wet. I wish. Sorry, that was actually kind of mean.
I don't hope he has wet socks. I hope he has crusty socks, and I hope it's not his crust. If you know, ooh, you know. Okay. Yeah,
let I hope those where things he, crack. I hope huh?
where he is, he has to snap them in half before he can put them on.
Ooh, like a glow stick. So
yeah, but significantly less fun.
It was still laid up under blue light. But anyway. Oh no. So all of his roommates talk about like the different excuses that he had. Oh, there's money here, there's money there. I'm just waiting for it.
Oh, I know. I just took four girls out for drinks. That's why I don't have rent money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, rent tasted great this month. Mm-hmm. So yes. There's that, but also we hear from another one of Jesse's roommates that she was so uncomfortable anytime the two of them were the only two alone in the house, she slept with a knife under her pillow.
Yeah, that should be saying lots of things.
Yes, and I just want to like once again repeat that someone he was in a signed contract living with was so scared of him that if another roommate wasn't home, she slept with a knife under her pillow. Not in her drawer. Not under the bed where she could get to it if she heard a noise.
The poor thing.
She needed it in arm's reach.
Which means what happened to her that she felt that way around him?
Or what did she see?
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a long history here of violence against women. And I'm so happy that they pointed that out. Because the rough sex defense is not an adequate defense for murder. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's a great building block, but that's not an open and shut defense.
It's not like, yeah, well, she liked it, so there's that. It's
right.
You need to, you still have blanks to fill in, and that isn't
plenty.
Enough.
Right. And like one fun fact about what someone wants in bed does not equate to them being like, yeah, you know what? Who needs to see 22? It's only the last day I'm ever 21.
What an awful. Ugh.
And so they heard from other dates that Jesse had that he had strangled them to the point of passing out. There were threats. There was violence and lack of care that these women were ever met with. If anything, they were always met with some sort of vague, thinly veiled threat. And it also came out that he often lied to people, and I assume a lot of the time his dates, because he would say things like he knew celebrities that he had no ties to, but also things like that he was an orphan and had cancer.
Oh, I bet on his Tinder it also said like 6'1", right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On Tinder, he's 6'1". If you guys haven't listened to Lil Dicky, you should. Anyway.
Haven't doesn't sound like I'm going to.
Oh, it's very funny. He's actually an incredibly good rapper, but it's all comedy.
All right.
Anyway, all that to say, it should also be noted that I didn't put this in our little search history because I thought it might be a little too obvious. Mm-hmm. But the night of December 1st, I believe technically the morning of December 2nd, mm-hmm. Jesse had creeped on Grace's Facebook and like went back to, I don't know if it was her current profile picture, like one that was a few updates ago. And he just put something like beautiful. Like a lot, like
commented
yes,
on it.
Yes, he commented, he liked it and commented on it.
Sir.
And so when Grace's family was going through her socials on her phone, they were able to be like, we don't know this guy.
This is new.
Right. And then they saw the name matched on Tinder, and that's how they called him in for that first interview before her body was even found.
Wow.
But I love when people do stupid things on the internet.
Wow.
It's
wow.
So traceable.
That's pretty cool.
It's so traceable. And so during this trial, it also came out that Jesse had actually not lied when he said that he took naked pictures of Grace. In fact, he did lie about when and how consensual it was, because the pictures he took were of her dead naked body in his room.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
which means
oh.
It was not enough to violate her in the ways that he violated her while she was alive. Okay. And for anybody who is still concerned that this was an erotic related incident, the medical examiner looked at Grace's body, saw the autopsy, and noted that it would take like upwards of 10 minutes of consistent intense pressure on someone's neck to kill them from choking.
The way that she, yeah.
And not just from, like, alive to passed out. Like, mm-hmm. all the way dead. So she would have gone through the phase of, like, making a fuss because, like, okay, this isn't fun anymore. This isn't mm-hmm. funny anymore. And then she would have gotten weak and passed out. And then he kept going.
And wouldn't her face have turned, like, red and then purple? Or, you Probably. Know what I mean? Like, the blood vessels in your, like, mm-hmm. like your face... rupture, her eyes were probably bloodshot. Like, there was no way that she would appear to have been having a good time.
No.
While this is going on, which just also tells you that he didn't care that she was having a good time. This does not seem like a BDSM thing. This seems like whether she was into that or she wasn't at all, this is what he was going to do when he had her alone.
Yep.
Is what this sounds like to me. So don't make it a kink thing. Don't make it anything like that. It's he sought out women who were sounds like vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
new in town.
Hey.
Okay. Don't know their surroundings very well, only there for a brief period of time, and don't know anybody else around.
Yep.
So kind of makes you the perfect victim.
Absolutely. Especially if you're hot and there's some sort of inkling that maybe you're into the same thing that he's into, except he's into it in a way different way.
Yes.
And it also makes me more frustrated that now, not only was he like, gonna hit it and quit it and go take a snooze in the shower, I guess. But then he came out and took naked photos of her already dead body, which I'm sure he got off to then, and still looked up porn.
Yeah, that everything he said is horseshit. Is he frying now?
Probably, hopefully.
Right. Ugh,
and God. Then also in the trial, he did try to blame the searches on being drunk. Ma'am, do you know how to spell Whitakery?
No, I don't.
No. Okay, well, let me tell you. It's Waitakere. Try to spell that drunk.
I can't even do hello.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's like, hello.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm not buying the drunk thing.
No.
All right. And I'm not buying flesh-eating birds where then her body was found as any coincidence.
I don't get that either. Nope.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. And so essentially, which we do love this, Jesse was found guilty of Grace's murder. He was sentenced to life with a minimum of 17 years served.
Minimum?
A minimum. But wait.
Come on.
Because with some of the information that came out during this trial, Jesse then also gained himself an extra 2 trials for other violence, like sexual violence against women, and was found guilty of those too, and given another 11 years to serve.
How the turntables.
How the turntables indeed.
Ugh.
We love it. So, like, I'm a little annoyed because I wish it would have been a lot longer of a minimum, but also I was annoyed that they said the sentences were concurrent, which means they could be served at the same time. But I was realizing that, like, if he has a life sentence, any sentence really ends up being concurrent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, however, if New Zealand then adds the 11 years that he has to serve for the other two on top of the 17, making it like 28, or if it's really just 17. So I'm not entirely sure.
Well, I have a preference and I think you can guess it.
Yeah. And I have the same preference that you do.
Oh.
So I do just want to go on a little quick rant. And this is about the rough sex defense. It's really frustrating for me for so many reasons. To start, though, I want to reassure you that this man did not accidentally do these things. Okay? Just, it wasn't an accident. Grace's family had to hear all of this.
Mm.
And Grace died at the hands of this man who certainly had a mission that night. Mm-hmm. I don't believe for a second that this isn't what he was gonna do. The texts that he had sent her to try to convince her to come out were literally like, what do I have to do to convince you?
Which could sound playful, right, and kind, like, of
what
sweet.
Do I have to do to get you out? But also knowing what happens.
But with the backdrop of the actual crime that happened less than 24 hours later, yeah, that's really concerning.
And then following that, the other Tinder dates he's been on and every victim of sexual violence that has come forward from him has been a date.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 0% of me thinks that there's any chance something else happened. Like, truly. And I hate that, I guess, the rough sex defense allows for him to tell her story. He gets to be the one to say, no, this is what happened. And she liked it. And she wanted it. She asked me for it. And her family has to sit through and hear all of that. And now, I think that we can all agree that there are certain times and places for certain things. Mm-hmm. We all render ourselves a little bit to our audience. I'm not going to say the same thing to my mom that I'm going to say to my best friend when I've had a bad day. And that's not because my mom has not heard hear me say, like, this was a fucking awful day. I mean, she listens to the podcast. Hi, Mom. But, like, also,
Mrs. Apple Dappleson.
The way we interact is that of a bond between a mother and a daughter. Mm-hmm. Not like, hey, bitch, what's up? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not the same. And I know that sex and sexual interests are often very much not talked about in families because that's your family. And if there's one thing that gives all of us the ick, it's usually incest. So don't love that.
Oh, ew.
And so, of course, her family hasn't heard this. And I can agree with anyone who says that, like, yeah, that wasn't great for them to have to hear. I wouldn't want that to be the last conclusion and wrap up to my life. That's also not to say that there's anything wrong with what she was interested in. Just because there are some people that you don't necessarily want to air out every preference that you have to doesn't make it a shameful thing. If anything, I think those are healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. And relationships are stronger with boundaries that are healthy. But for this to be the way in which her family was supposed to gain some kind of closure is just infuriating to me, because now they have to travel to an entirely different country. Then they have to sit there and listen to this smug fucking asshole talk about how much she really wanted it and have all of her ex-boyfriends that you know, that you've seen them on dates, that they were together for a year and you thought his mom was really nice, talk about how, she did actually like to be choked. She wanted that. And then at the end, to have a really big fuss about this defense being used as a whole because it's ruining her image. We have to stop saying that sexual interests are ruining people's image if we care about feminism and equality and any sort of like equal playing field. If a man can walk into a courtroom and go high five, she wanted to be choked, she should be able to go into that courtroom and go high five, I got choked. And it shouldn't have anything to do with the kind of person she was. And so I don't love the rough sex defense, but I don't particularly like the idea that it ruins someone's image. I think that really continues a cycle that leads to very subliminal messaging that women are in some way unequal to men when it comes to sex, and that we're allowed to want that and we're allowed to have preferences, but not if they're allowed. And if you get killed, well, fuck, that's on you. I guess anybody who wants to be put in handcuffs deserves that.
It's interesting you say that, because when I hear those things and about someone's preferences or things like that, I don't even really think man, woman, anything like that. I just think like, ooh, what a very private thing to air, where personally, you guys know, because I've said it here a lot, I don't care what adults do.
Not as long as they're both consenting.
You guys are both or all into it. Cool. Mm-hmm. Have at it. If that's not something I would choose to do, that's completely fine. It's really great that I'm not you. You enjoy doing that. You get to do that. That's fantastic. I love that you get to do what you want to do. But there are things where, like, I think I just tend to be more of a private person with a lot of that. Where I don't particularly like on either side that would be something that would be. Now, of course, I understand that in the context of this case, it needed to be a topic of discussion. Right. Because that was the time that happened. You're not bringing that up needlessly. But I do think that there is a part of it where it's like, not necessarily shaming her name for having been into those things, but I struggle with like that kind of private part of your life being
aired
like that, where it's like, it's, I don't care what you are into. I care that it's a shame that it seems reduced down to these final moments where this was the situation that was happening.
Exactly. And I think that the reason I bring it up, I guess, in that context of like people saying that it ruins an image, or like, you know, you're basically just calling her a slut at the end of her life, that kind of thing. I don't love that because, no. Yes, I am sure that people do that because there are bigots everywhere and there are people who are going to be sexist and misogynistic and homophobic and all of these things that are disgusting in their own rights. Mm-hmm. And those people are going to have to deal with that. But to make that the reason that this defense isn't okay really sits poorly with me, because it should not be about what that content says about her. It should say everything about what that content coming out at that time says about society and what we let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are more people than just me who are not into the rough sex defense. There are initiatives to get rid of it from, I'm sure, plenty of people, but notably, We Can't Consent to This campaign and the National Organization for Women believe that this is victim blaming. And to a degree, I do as well. Depends on how it's used and depends on the rest of the argument, if there is one. In this case, not so much. So certainly victim blaming. But I don't know what New Zealand specifically has done about this. I do know that in Britain, they have officially taken back the rough sex defense. So it was talked about in 2019 and 2020 and officially passed into effect in 2021. So if you do want to help this initiative in other areas and countries, I have linked the petition from the We Can't Consent to This campaign that says you can add your name and you don't like this. It's going to be linked in the description and in the sources page. But basically, all of this to be said, be safe, be smart, be you. If you want to lick someone's toes or get a spanking or flask your partner consensually and in the right setting, do it. But let's be done with the mixed messaging. It's exhausting and counterproductive. Like what you like, as long as people are all consenting and into it and you're not doing it on a fucking playground at 12 p.m., we're good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Now, I do just want to end this with some of the aftermath. I did have to look really deep to find this. I hadn't heard this in any of the podcasts I listened to or many of the articles that I read. But after some time, I did hear that in 2019, following Grace's death, her dad, David, had actually been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Which meant in 2019, he passed away in November, meaning Jillian, Grace's mom, had lost her daughter in December, her husband in November, all while after just recently nearly losing her own life to breast cancer the year before.
Oh.
Jillian Mullane has fucking been through it. But I want to end this with some of her beautiful efforts and words. Grace has had a major impact on her mom. Jillian and Grace's cousin Hannah started a program called Love Grace. And Love Grace describes its namesake as a loving, family-oriented, free spirit with a beautiful, caring nature who was a loyal friend. And that's how they describe Grace. It says that her family created a legacy in her name to raise funds and promote awareness to end male violence towards women. And basically what this organization campaign does is they put together bags for women fleeing domestic violence situations. They get a cute little handbag because they said Grace loved a good handbag, and girl, relatable. They put in toiletries and other daily and hygiene needs for women, and they can hand them out because they talk about statistics. And at least in Britain, many women who are running from an abuser, particularly in a domestic setting, don't have a lot more than like 10 minutes to pack on average. And so they liked the idea of providing some sort of safety net to these women in a time of need, and that still humanizes them. So it's not like a garbage bag full of half-used toothpaste. Right. It's like, here's your handbag. You're going to take this, you're going to look fly, and you're going to walk away alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is huge. I have also, of course, linked the Love Grace organization as well. You can find that and a place to donate. But I think it's worth looking into. Even if you don't want to donate and you just want to read up on it, it's a great place. I think there are cute little bracelets you can buy that also go to a charity in Grace's name. So her family is really championing her still. But that was the absolutely tragic murder of Grace Mullane, the fuckface Tinder swindler, which isn't true. That's a different Netflix documentary. a fuckface Tinder date who truly has no idea what an IP address is.
And also is very just predatory, and it seems like he chose her for a specific reason and sounds premeditated to me.
Yep.
Which is another reason why this rough sex defense does not work.
Correct. So all that to say, this was an incredibly grueling case on the heart. It was so heartwarming to see this case from start to finish be investigated so smoothly, so efficiently and effectively, and from two different countries. I think it says so much about New Zealand, not only the way that they responded with an apology and heartbreak and justice for Grace, but the speed at which they did it and took it seriously and worked with her family. I think it was truly amazing. And of course, we just love CCTV because it got the job done real quick, which meant this fuckface did not get a chance to hurt another woman, which if you gave it a week, I'm sure that would have been different. So
gave it another day.
Probably. So yeah, wow. That's what I had for you today.
Well, that's a ride. My heart and head hurt.
Oh.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But we will have all of these pages that Abby talked about linked in our Instagram. We'll have it in our highlights. You will see them all.
And always, I mean, if you click on the Google Doc with all of the sources, you can also get those resources.
So we will make sure that all of that is added in there for you.
If you do want to see, though, the people, the places, the things that we're talking about, how fucking gorgeous Grace Mullane was, and also how cute she looks in her little graduation cap, you can do that at our Instagram. So that's at About Time for True Crime Pod with periods in between every word. So that is ABOUT period TIME period FOR period TRUE period CRIME period POD because podcast was too long. But if you, much like our name, want to send something too long for Instagram, you want to send us your pod pets, a case wreck, what you thought about this, any of our New Zealand listeners, hey girlies, is there something I missed legislative wise? Is anything else going on with the rough sex defense over there? Let me know. Let us know where you guys are at. But they could email that where?
If you wanted to email us, you could do that too. About time, the number 4, tc@gmail.com. So that's ABOUTTIME, numeric 4, tc@gmail.com.
All right, you guys, thanks for sticking in there with me on this one. It was tough, but I'm excited to see you all back next week for something entirely new from Allie. And if I do look at my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Later. Bye.